Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And what we're looking at today and what we're really talking about is fellowship. And what does it mean to fellowship? And in the scriptures that we're going to be covering, we're really going to be looking at the life of the first believers. And when we read through this and we go through this, we really want to sow what we're taking in into our hearts. And I was thinking about that as well as I read this article. This article was in 2015. And it said about 60 churches closed their doors each week in the United States in that year. And that translated to about 3,500 people each day leaving the church. So the reality is that some churches are becoming very creative in attracting new people. And in the old days, if you think about, sometimes you see it on little flicks or movies, or you might hear about it in stories from, you know, parents or the previous generation, is that we used to be able to hang these banners for the church and people would come. But those days are really kind of gone. They're over, right? And so now these churches have started doing like marketing, right? PR work. They hold these secular events, giveaways at the doors, serving steaks or whatever the case may be to try to bring people in. And, you know, I kind of want to share a few things about that, right? First, we shouldn't have to convince God's people of their need to gather together. And the second is that a church will live or die by the people that come. If the church is alive, it's because the people who come are alive and active. And if the church is dying, it's because people who come are themselves in that state. Now, I've listened to this pastor, his name, Pastor Skip Heitzig, and he told this story about a pastor who took over a small church in Oklahoma. It wasn't going well for this pastor. He was trying everything to revive this congregation and get the people active, and nothing worked. So finally, as one last effort, he announced to his congregation and in a local newspaper that the church is officially dead. So that Sunday afternoon, they announced that they're going to have a funeral, a burial service for this church. So that Sunday, the church was packed. Right? Before, they were having trouble bringing people in. After his announcement, the church is packed. So packed that they haven't even seen that many people in that church before. So full of people that people were actually looking in through the windows. So the pastor got up, and sure enough, in front there was a casket, even with flowers on top. And the pastor preached a eulogy about the history of this church. And now this church is over. It's dead. In this is its burial service. After he was done with the eulogy, he invited all those in attendance to come up and give their last respects to the departed church. But this pastor said, as you file past the casket, you'll discover the reason for the death of this church. As people got up, and they filed one by one past the casket, they looked in. After looking in, they all turned away in embarrassment. For there perched just right at the right angle in a casket was a mirror. Every person who passed saw themselves, their own reflection in the mirror. So the cause of death, and thinking about this, is that the church didn't kill itself. It was the people within the church. Now, I thought about the first key elements of the early church in the book of Acts. And that is, so let's, we're going to be talking about is fellowship. Now, you can't thrive as a Christian without fellowship. In fact, I would even say that you cannot survive as a believer without fellowship. It's a characteristic that transforms the churchgoer into a church member. It's the difference between someone saying, I go to church, and somebody who realizes that I am the church. It's God's people on this earth. So, what does fellowship mean? And we'll see that in verse 42. In verse 42 of Acts 2, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So, verse 42, this is the foundation of their Christian life. On the day of Pentecost, sound of rushing wind, tongues of fire, the conversion of 3,000 were all remarkable events. But the things described in this verse were the abiding legacy of God's work. They relied on the apostles to communicate to them who Jesus was and what he had done. Now, they trusted in Jesus, but now they wanted to know more. And the Christian life is actually meant to be full of fellowship, of sharing one with another. So thinking about the aspects of sharing, we share the same Lord Jesus. We share the same guide for life. We share the same love for God. We share the same desire to worship him. We share the same struggles. We share the same victories. We share the same job of living for him. And we share the same joy of communicating the gospel. So, I believe that there's probably no more overused and undervalued word in the Christian vocabulary as the word fellowship. Now, this can be translated a few different ways, the word fellowship. We could think about it as communion, contribution, sharing, or partnership. So if we put all these words together, we'll discover that fellowship is sharing the life of Jesus Christ. It's not a social gathering. It's a spiritual gathering. And with that, now, even living close to time when Jesus was crucified, they'll never want to forget what he did on the cross. How important is it for us to never forget? Whenever God's work is done, God's people gather for prayer and worship. So now, everything else we read about the power, the glory of the early church flows from this foundation of the word, fellowship, remembrance of Jesus's work on the cross and prayer. So the early church taught the word, shared in fellowship, broke bread in communion, and prayed. Now in verse 43, we see, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So now we're seeing the presence of the power of God. This was evidence of power of God, one of the greatest, most powerful works God can do is to change a human's heart towards a reverent honor of the Lord. This was also evidence of the power of God, where God is at work. Lives will be touched in miraculous ways. Now, also in verse 44 to 45, we see, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, and any had need. So now we see their close hearts and sharing in the common life of Jesus. With the influx of more than 3,000 believers, most of whom stayed in Jerusalem and didn't have any jobs, the family of Christians had to share if they were to survive. Now, the Jews had a tremendous custom of hospitality. During any major feast like Pentecost, visitors were received into private homes. None could charge for giving a room or a bed to a visitor or supplying their basic needs. Christians took this tremendous hospitality and made it an everyday thing. Now, thinking about this, the power of God is evident here because Jesus became much more important to them as their possessions. Okay, now, in the 1960s and the 1970s, there were college professors that actually tried to use these verses to say that the early church were communists. But this is what happens when or if we take the scriptures out of context. If you're choosing a certain scripture without reading the before and after or whatever the case may be, it could kind of come to loose and shaky grounds. Now, early believers, they weren't communists. They were commonists. There's a big difference between the communists and commonists. Communism says what's yours is mine. But commonism says what is mine is yours. That's the difference. Now, we also get a glimpse of what the scriptures say in Romans chapter 13, love one another. In Romans chapter 14, edify one another. In Romans chapter 15, admonish one another. And then Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. It's part of fellowship. Now, verses 46 through 47, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. So now we see the Christian family being living together and growing. The church is, when we think about the church, it is meant to worship God and learn his word together. Yet, it's meant to do more than that. God wants us to share our lives with one another. And their Christian experience was daily, joyful and simple, good examples for us to follow. Now, I think also about this. This is God's prescription for church growth. If we take care to follow the example of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, God will take care of growing the church himself. Now, back then, they met together daily in the temple and spontaneously in one another's homes. House to house, providing an informal meeting to discuss what the truths mean in their lives. And here's where we learn how to walk with God. But it requires listening to the message in church. Then it continues the application of the message within the four walls of the home. So this kind of gives you kind of the basic foundations of fellowship. What is it meant to fellowship? Now, thinking about fellowship, especially in these times, we need each other more than ever than before. Because we live in a world, a culture that is increasingly hostile towards believers. Christian fellowship is the antidote. If you want to compare it, right? You know, they're talking about this whole vaccine. Well, guess what? The vaccine, the antidote is Christian fellowship. Not to be separated, not to be segregated, not to become part of the world or anything like that, but we got to listen. Everything in our culture fights Christian fellowship. The world is becoming less friendly to us. Society is marginalizing us more and more. Some on verbal and legal attacks. And what used to be the separation of church and state is now, in their minds, the separation of church from the state altogether. And the pressure that was there in Jerusalem then is also present in our own culture. Now let's take it a step further. Look at mobile technology, okay? You know, yeah, everybody has cell phones, and we're not saying that everything about a cell phone is bad because it can help us in cases of emergency and, you know, all this other stuff, right? But mobile technology, look at what it has done to us as a Christian culture. There is an article about social media, and it said that social media isn't or is not social. And I love, like, I went to this Chick-fil-A, and they have this little box in the middle of the table, and the whole family would put their cell phones in this box. And if this family can go through the whole meal at that sitting without going for the cell phones, their meal was free. Because that is to promote being social in person, talking with your family or whoever you're with, rather than pulling out the phone and being zoned out in your own little private world. Now, it's also said that it is more about the media. When you're thinking about social media, it's more about the media and it's less about being social. And if you think about like Instagram or Twitter or whatever other accounts that they have now, you're essentially talking at someone. You're not talking with someone. Fellowship is absent from it. This one author said that every person becomes the creator of their own private world when they're on social media. You might ask, how's that so? Well, this world where you get to choose everything. You get to choose your entertainment, your music, relationships. You become God in your own little world. I remember back in the past, they have these like accounts, right? At the beginning, it asks you what your likes or dislikes are because it wants to mold to you. right? So thinking about that, how that social media is. So what does it mean to be a friend these days? You see kids no longer go knock on their neighbor's door to go say, hey, can Johnny come out and play? Let me play basketball. Let me, you know, whatever the case. You don't see that anymore. These kids are texting each other and they're sitting right next to each other. It happens. That's what's happening. And that's what it means to be a friend these days. Like me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. Now, I want to share something with you guys, okay? Since I mentioned the word follow me. This is not what Jesus meant when he said, follow me. It's not. What is happening in our world, in our society, our culture? It's not fellowship. Now, I'm not saying dump your phones, but we just have to realize that there's limitations. This isn't real fellowship. Christianity isn't a private personal experience. It's about sharing the life of Jesus Christ together. So, when does fellowship happen? And the answer might surprise you. It may never happen to any significant degree, because if you don't want it to happen, it'll never happen. So what do we mean by that? Well, some people just don't want to let anyone get close. Whatever the case may be, maybe something bad happened and we put up this wall, right? Or whatever the case may be, some people are just private to themselves. They construct ways to put up these walls. Some people might sit there and say, hey, it's not the right time. Not today. I'm tired. Maybe next time. My house is a mess. I don't want to let nobody over, or I'm busy. The list could go on and on and on. You know, we just read about how, you know, we're to meet in the church and listen to the word together, learn the word together, and how they used to go house to house and fellowship and being together and spending time together outside of the church. But if we're always saying, hey, our house is messy, or, you know, not today, or not, you know, next thing you know it, with this whole long list that we go through, 2 years has passed and there's no fellowship. But if you want more, Jesus is ready. If you want more than a casual relationship with Christ, he's ready to give it to you. And I think about, as we come to a close, I think about Hebrews 10. It says that we've got to assemble ourselves together, and all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. This is how important it is to fellowship.